Yeah.
Hopefully we don't need that very often.
The code of conduct is in there, and then there's also a Pacifica nonviolence in the workplace memorandum that's also posted at the station as well. And then just kind of in a brief note, I mean, I want to just appreciate all of y'all new folks for being willing to take on this project. All of the folks who put together the training, which I thought was, I mean, the little bit that I got to, you know, observe and participate in, I thought y'all did a great job. So Richard and Mary and Alberto and Bill, everybody that put that together, thank you for that. And to those of you veterans who are going to turn into pumpkins here real soon, I'm eternally grateful for your support and energy. And, you know, I don't know that we would all be here if it weren't for the dedication and just the thousands and thousands of hours and love that you've poured into KPFT. So I thank you for that. Teresa, Sandra. You know, and just to close it on a sad note, which I don't like to do, but, you know, death is a part of life. And one of, you know, this is a person, many people that I've gotten to know through KPFT are just kind of disembodied voices on the phone, or some of them I only know electronically. Some of them I've gotten to know personally. And one of them that I've never met this gentleman, and I never will now because he died the other day. His name is Don Brown. And if you listen on the weekends, you've heard his name, I'm sure, because the guy would call in every weekend. And he's a machinist, lived down in Rosenberg, and he loved the blues, and he loved listening on Saturday, too. He loved PT's show. And he would donate so much money to KPFT, thousands of dollars. And the guy didn't really have much of a family, but he thought that the radio station was his family. And he would call in, and he'd donate $100 and call back an hour later and double it and call back an hour later and triple it, and pretty soon he's given $2,000 in one day to KPFT. Well, he and his three-legged dog Cooter Brown are not going to be participating much in KPFT anymore because he died suddenly, I think Sunday. And, you know, the sad thing is, I mean, that's sad enough, but the sad thing is his daughter called me on Monday, said, you know, Dad really loved KPFT, but he didn't appear to love himself very much because he didn't even have a life insurance plan for himself, and we don't know how we're going to bury him. So I'm sort of torn. I mean, I don't want to, you know, we've done benefits for people. We've put things out on the air about, you know, this musician, you know, lost a leg, or this person's got cancer and somebody's going to do, thank you. What we talked about at the staff, Don just in the last fund drive gave, I don't know exactly how many hundreds or thousands of dollars to KPFT, but he did in a couple of his memos when he called in say that he needed us to not charge his account until the 18th. Well, he was deceased before the 18th. And so, I mean, at the very least, I want to tell his daughter that, you know, that we're not going to be adding any more bills to his estate, and that all of the thousands of dollars of rolling payments and things like that he's making will all be ceasing. And I know that that'll be a big help to her. But I know also that the blues DJs, you know, the folks who went and cut off a piece of Trudy Lynn's wig because he paid $500 for some of her hair, and people like that are going to do something to try and help this family out. Even though I think the KPFT was as much a part of his family as any of his kids, because the one of the conversations I had with him, you know, he said, I don't really have much family. I've got some kids, but I don't really see them that much. I don't keep in touch with them that much. But he sure did keep in touch with KPFT, you know. And it's just an illustration, and I'm sorry that I've drawn it out too long. It's one of my bad habits. That, you know, the lives we touch and the people we interact with, I've never seen this man, and yet I feel like I really know him, and I think that that's part of the magic of Pacifica and radio and KPFT, is so many lives crossed so many different paths in so many different ways, and we have this like spider web of interconnection that's just amazing and very profound and sometimes very elusive, but very touching. And his life, I think, though I don't really know much of it, was a part of that, and he was a part of all of us. So I just wanted to remember him.
Conduct, yeah. Which I think is a beautiful piece of life, and I think it's really worth all of us internalizing what it directs us to do, and to bear in mind that it is not for when we have difficulties. It is how I think we would function best doing it when we're getting along with each other. It's a beautiful code of conduct, and it needs to be practiced daily.
I agree.
And, yes, Susan?
Just a quick question. Herbert brought to our attention someone who is a volunteer during the fund drive who behaved in an offensive way and made the station less welcoming and less tolerant. And I would like to ask management just for to think about what we do in those instances, because when there is that behavior, it hurts us all.
I think Herbert for bringing that up.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just to speak to that, you know, I guess if we don't really put this forward in, you know, awareness of it and its practice, it's never going to correct behaviors or people will change their behavior in our environment as KPFT. And I think if we work on, you know, really putting that out there so people is aware of it, that, you know, you walk in the door, I've seen in places where this would be the size of that door right there in the station right there. You see it when you walk in the door. You know, I've seen that kind of stuff up there because it's the seriousness of it that people adapt to it and make themselves aware of it and actually calling people on their behavior. You know, I didn't, you know, I just felt at that moment I didn't want to, you know, get in, you know, confront that individual about it at that time, you know, because really it could have. Because something could have turned nasty, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and I looked, you know, above him because he just, you know, I think it was just ignorance on his part, you know. And I really kind of feel sorry for him to come out of his mouth the way he did. Hopefully that, you know, that's something that doesn't happen all the time. You know? and I don't know if y'all had a chance to talk to him or see him.
No, but we were able to identify who it was. I mean, based on what you said, that name was totally unfamiliar, but asking around and looking back on some of the logs and stuff, we were able to find out who it is, and Ernesto contacted him and let him know that, you know, there was an issue and offered him an opportunity to get some counseling. And I don't know that there's been any response from him, because he was formerly affiliated with a couple of different programs, and since the program changes happened over the summer, neither of the two programs that he was with was he still with. So he's been kind of absent, and don't really know what his role is anymore in terms of doing anything more than showing up to be a phone volunteer. But Ernesto did reach out to him in a telephone message. But there'll be some follow through on that.
Thank you. And I want to thank Dwayne and all the staff for all the hard work during the drive. Plenty of opportunities to help with fundraising, and since we did come under the goal, like, this is one of the things that I'd like the board to help with, do some more off-air fundraising so we don't have to keep making the fund drives longer. Any other questions for Dwayne about the GM report?
Okay, can you. I, before we go, let me just pick up the vibe a little bit from bringing y'all down maybe a little with this sad story about Don. We're like down to a couple months away from celebrating the 40th anniversary of KPFT, and we've got an awful lot of work to do if we want to take advantage of this opportunity that the existence of KPFT being born on March 1st of 1970 presents to us. This whole year of 2010 can be a huge celebration of this whole community through KPFT. So I invite you to, you know, to dream some big ideas up, to plug them into the events outreach committee, the development committee, try and plug them into some finance ideas and things like that, and I'll work with as many of you as I can to manifest some things. And the only one that I can share right off the top of my head is Sunday, March the 15th, I think, is, that may be the wrong date, but it's the Sunday right before St. Patrick's Day. We have that giant tent that will be built over the back half of the whole parking lot at the Muggy Duck at our disposal to do anything we want with. And just like this past year, that opportunity in a period of 6 weeks helped to generate an awful lot of funds and an awfully great day for KPFT. We can, I think, magnify that, multiply it, and roll that out in a bunch of different ways over the course of the year to really just raise KPFT's profile. One example, I'll leave you with this. I was contacted by a writer from the Chronicle today. He writes a blog called 40 Years Ago, and he's writing a story about Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant, because it was 40 years ago that came out. And the fact that ties into KPFT's history, because that was the song that was playing when the bomb blew up the station the second time, and he wants to write about that, and he wants to write about KPFT in a bunch of different ways. So I've given him a lot of information and some leads on, you know, some of the notorious suspects who are still around Houston that he can contact, like Ray Hill or, you know, others that will tell stories that make for good stories. So that's one parlay that we can make into the mass media, and we can use the rest of the media to help elevate our little part of the media world in the larger community.
Okay. David?
Dwayne, would you be open to perhaps another repeat of the last organic outpost and maybe something coinciding with that 501(c)(3) and doing something major, like a night event?
Oh, yeah.
I think that might be a great place, great venue for celebrating.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And be a much bigger money raiser.
Yeah. Richard?
That was kind of come up in the Finance Committee report.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ready to move on to the committee reports? ARDC, Anti-Racism and Diversity. By the way, I'd like to thank Ted for really producing good minutes, and all of our committees can do that. It really helps help everybody keep up with what's going on, even if you're not able to take all the meetings.
Thanks. These minutes, I didn't make copies for everyone. They're 2 pages long, and they're posted on the website, I think, I hope. We had about 15 people at our meeting that was held at the Muhammad Mosque number 45 on November the 9th. We focused on three things. Black History Month, there was a pretty exciting conversation that I tried to capture in the report. And we're meeting again on November the 30th, where that conversation will continue with the hopes of developing some outstanding programming, not only for Black History Month, but hopefully in time for Kwanzaa. We had at our meeting KPFT programmer Jack Valensky, who was on the staff of Jolanda Jones, who said he has a database of 5,000 nonprofit organizations in the Houston area that he will make available to our committee as we make an effort to try to do outreach. And so that's a work in progress. And the third thing is an idea that P.K. McGarry brought forth, which is to produce some materials that would help to inform the community about who the programmers of KPFT are. That's a work in progress. It has about a subcommittee of 5 people. So that's what's going on with the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Kwanzaa come before before Black History Month?
Our next meeting is November the 30th. We're hoping that what is done, Kwanzaa comes around Christmas time.
Okay. Starts on December 26th.
Okay.
Okay. Questions for Ted or anything about ARDC? So next meeting is November 30th?
6 p.m. at KPFT.
Okay. Budget and Finance? George?
Yeah, we had hoped to approve the budget for KPFT. For those of you who are new, the procedure is that the LSB approves the budget first. In an interactive process with the general manager, forwards it to the PNB. They make whatever changes they think are significant. But ultimately, we still have to approve it again. So what's happened is that there were some changes after we sent in the first version, and there were some changes after we sent it in the second version. The third version was a final version, but they didn't actually send back what it was they approved. The thing that I've got, the thing that Dwayne has got, is still incomplete. Some of the changes haven't been made. So what we're proposing to do is to have you all approve it as the new board. And it'll be an opportunity, this was Susan's idea, I think it's a good one, to sort of familiarize yourself with what's in the budget. I don't know what would happen if you choose not to approve it, but we could find out. So that's the plan, is that we'll bring it up at the next meeting.
Oh, cool.
Could you tell me when the next budget committee meeting is, because so people have questions that could
we don't have one planned. There's nothing we need to do.
Well, you may want to do a briefing
on
the budget for people who miss. I mean, if they're going
to
be
prior to the meeting coming up.
Well, maybe you just want to set aside time at the meeting.
That's what I would think.
Right, the budget basically authorizes planning to spend money, for the next year. So a lot of different things. So if you're interested in what's in the budget,
We will get it to you all as soon as we get hold of it, and you're free to call me and ask any questions you have about it.
Okay.
If we need to, we'll have a meeting.
Let me just urge that you not fiddle with it. Really, the whole thing about approving it, pretty much it's expected that you do that. Also, George, you were going to comment on the financial performance sheet today.
No, Wayne is going to do that.
Okay.
Oh, all right, I'll be out there. You get two sheets like this each month if I'm on target, which I try to be. And one is going to be budget versus actual for that month. And then one is a year to date. But since what you've got, and I realized this after I killed an extra tree or two, the year to date after the first month is going to be the very same thing as the first month, right? So your year to date numbers look exactly the same as the ones that are for the October budget, because there's only one month in the budget so far. So we're in the middle of the second month of the fiscal year already. So by the time you hopefully approve the budget, we will have been almost a quarter of the way through the year that budget that hasn't, I guess, officially been super approved, though it has been, is in effect. So if you look at it, I mean, I look at the bottom line a lot, and the bottom line shows that we have a variance. We were planning on having a variance. The actual shows 33,000 plus. The October budget called for there to not be one, and so we have a deficit right out of the gate. That's understandable in part when you look at the very top line, listener support. When we built the budget back in the early part of the summer, we're planning on having a fund drive in October earlier than we did. It was pushed back, and so the funds that we projected already coming into the station, obviously there's nearly $100,000 less in listener support coming in than we prognosticated back in the summer when we built the budget. So, I mean, that's one of the things about these budgets is when you're planning it out, you have to kind of extrapolate your projections through other months. And if we think that we're going to start a fund drive in October and another one in January and another one in May, and then it turns out that, well, this has really been more of a November fund drive, which means it's probably going to be more of a February fund drive, and it's going to be later in May than earlier in May, probably, then these numbers kind of slip a little bit, which is also something to think about when you look at, you know, you look at the report, the typed report. It says we have, you know, $179,000 in the bank as of today. But then you look at this budget and you're like, well, you're way in the hole already. But it's not, this is a budget, and we had several hundred thousand dollars in the bank when the year started. So that's one of the things that we've built over the last 5 or 6 years is a little bit of a cash flow cushion to deal with the ebbs and flows of the reality of basically living from fund drive to fund drive. So that's it in general.
Thank you. I always encourage people to just look at the year-to-date figures, and that's the most important thing, because the monthly ones do fluctuate a lot just because of the timing of fund drives and things like that.
Or in the first month.
Right, yeah. And so, I guess then we'll have the final budget to vote on at the December LSV meeting. Is that the plan, George?
Yep.
Okay. And if anybody's interested, let me just ask, is anybody interested in getting a briefing on the details, the new people especially? And we went through this in great detail this summer here, and then I know it's been dissected a lot at the national level. But is anybody interested in having a briefing
I guess if we could, if we want to schedule a finance committee meeting, raise your hand if you're interested in that. Okay. So you think you can do that sometime during before the next LTV meeting?
How many people want to do this?
Did you state again what it is you're going to do?
Well, mostly to answer questions about what's what in the different items.
I'll email you any questions on that.
I have a question.
Yes.
So would the new members be voting on approving this budget?
Yeah.
Okay. The only question I would have would be if there are any people who have sources of contention with the budget that they might want to bring up to have support or not. I mean, I'm not interested in
redoing the work
or anything like that, but I am curious to know if there are any people who are not happy with the budget and what their issues are.
I'd be interested in that, too, although it's complicated if you want to change it because it's already been approved at the national level. It's been through quite a few revisions already, most of them are minor. So if you have any more revisions, it's going to have to go back through the whole cycle again. Yeah. But I think people need to at least be aware of what's in there, and then that you can also work towards any changes that you think would be appropriate for next year, the following year's budget.
What I'd like to do is to send out the budget. I'll send along with it the procedures for making a budget, and then if you all still have questions and you want to get together, I'll do that.
That'd be great. Right. Yeah. Great.
The best time, if you're worried about the details, is in the early stages of the budget planning.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. Let me just say that the board has already approved the budget that was submitted. The board has already approved. This board has already approved the budget that was passed. Matt's only modifications in that. Or basically, the board is being asked to ratify those modifications.
Right.
The board is not asking to start thinking about the whole budget again. It's
right.
Really ratifying those changes that National has requested.
Yeah, Dwayne?
I'd like to make one clarification. While I understand that there are some issues that the National Board has changed with this budget that hasn't been ratified, is that correct?
The board, this local station board adopted a budget.
Understand.
Sent it to National.
Understand.
National made some changes that are basically based on national policy about certain debt that we have to retire, and the National board approved the whole budget.
So there's been some tweaking of the budget from the national standpoint.
Correct.
So there's some new members who take a look. Look judiciously and have some concern, then perhaps it would be brought through communication that we have these questions, and at the meeting of December, those questions are addressed.
Correct.
If they're sufficiently addressed, I should see no reason why anyone would not want to challenge. But the point of clarification, this new board has the authority to okay this budget or approve this budget. It's been said that the existing board approved this budget. I'm a bit confused in terms of who has the final authority of approving this budget, the new board or the existing board?
Well, the Pacifica National Board really does. We're essentially a committee of them.
There's something coming back that needs to be approved from the National Board. So who has that final responsibility?
Let me make a suggestion. If this is an issue, because it will cause a big problem at National if we revisit that budget. And I understand that the new board would say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not rubber stamping something that I didn't participate in creating. If that is an issue, then this board sitting here today needs to ratify the changes in that budget, because we cannot start that process over again at National.
I can see with this governance issue that you're talking about.
This is absolutely.
You want to assume, this new board will assume some responsibility has been made beforehand by a previous board, I don't take issue to it. I'm just wanting to know.
But it needs to not be complicated. It needs to not. You need to not be asked to do something.
Let's try to avoid the back and forth. There's some other people who want to say some things. Mary, did you hear that?
I was just saying, I just wanted to clarify. I think that's what Dwayne was saying, was you just want to understand the process and who does have the final responsibility for ratifying it.
And as she stated, I don't think anyone is unreasonable who are new that would just want to willy-nilly stop the process. But if there is an issue, that any new members have discovered, and there is no acceptable explanation, then you open up the
We have Wesley's on the stack. And then Susan, again, unless somebody else wants to speak first. But let me just mention again, to remind everybody, that a good time to go bring up details and questions is at the committee meeting, because at the LSB meeting, we really don't have time to go into a whole lot of each thing in great detail. In the committee meetings, you can spend as much time as you want asking questions about everything. Yeah, Dwayne? Wesley, and then Dwayne.
The current sitting board has... that put this together. Some of them are missing. Well, we'll be leaving, and the ratification will be established by the new board. If we have a, we as a board have a commitment that we do what is in the best interest of our foundation, and are responsible to the fact that we could get sued if we do anything that is inappropriate. So it might be better if we. If the sitting board right now ratifies, or I'm probably using this wrong, but approves this budget, ratifies and not
that a motion?
Yeah.
I second.
Second.
Ratify the changes in the budget. I second.
Okay. All right. Well, let's.
Dwayne
was on the stack. Did you
want to
talk about this motion now?
We sure don't
want to
go down. That's for sure.
I was actually going to propose a motion. And I have it written.
Is it the same?
It's more or less. I think maybe Wesley would agree that this is acceptable. I would like to move that the KPFT Local Station Board approve the FY10 KPFT budget as amended by the National Finance Committee and passed by the PNB at the Houston meeting.
Can you use the word ratify?
Yes. So.
Yes.
Is everybody aware of the amendments?
Well,
or not?
No one's aware.
Yes. No. The budget has have participated in the draft.
We did approve most of it. It's just the changes. Could you tell us what the changes are?
My understanding is that the only significant change since the last time we approved the budget was that there was a line item in there for approximately $13,000 as expenses for events. But because of the fact that this is our 40th anniversary, we expected to have considerably more expenses for events, and we wanted it to be $25,000. Mm-hmm. So that was the change that was made. Unfortunately, when they sent it back to me, they didn't include the change that they just approved. So that's the only difference between what had been previously approved and what was previously approved by this LSB and then subsequently the National Finance Committee and the, I guess the PNB has not actually acted yet.
No, the PNB did act, and it acted, it approved it in the meeting in Houston.
Okay.
Once again, the wrong sheet was given to them, but it was approved with the proviso that $13,000 should be $25,000.
Right. So that's all if that's an issue. I would support the motion. Let's move on, folks. This is not, there's nothing going on here that anyone needs to be concerned about. And we will still, I will still make it all available to you all, and I'll also outline the procedure, and also to get to Dwayne's question, what I understand of who's really responsible here for the final ratification of this thing.
Okay, well, on this deck we have Teresa and Ron and Susan.
I have a question.
Okay, so now we're going to, is it okay we cut off debate?
I think Ron was ahead of Teresa.
Yes.
Oh, Ron was ahead of Teresa? Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just have a question because I don't know whether or not I quite understood George's explanation of the change, and that is that we wanted $25,000 for events in the
National Board approved only 13,000.
No, we had originally
the other way around.
Yeah. We had originally 13,000. We wanted to change it to 25,000.
It was changed
to 25,000.
As expenses, because we're going to raise more money.
Right. So another $12,000 came out of our bottom line, which was positive. So instead of having something like $45,000 extra at the end of the year of income over expenses, we had $33,000 in income over expenses, and we had an additional $12,000 in this line for expenses. That's all. That's the only change.
You just made it even much more confusing for me. I'm sorry. I don't need the numbers here. Could we say 13,000 versus 25,000 at first?
We said that we're going to raise 40,000 for events. Okay. That's higher than we have in the past because we're expecting to have all this with the 40th anniversary. When we are raising more money, we're also going to have higher expenses for those events. What they showed as the expense was 13,000, and we said no, that's what our expense has been in prior years for doing smaller events. We need to raise it to 25. That's more realistic. That change was approved by the National Board at our request, but the sheet that we've got doesn't show that yet. They didn't correct the sheet.
No offense, Professor, but I guess that's why I always did well with women teachers there.
And we're prettier.
I am offended.
Sexism rules.
Okay, any objection to cutting off debate?
No.
Okay, hearing no objections, go ahead and vote on the two-reach motion again. Who has that?
I move that the KPFT LSB ratify the FY 2010 KPFT budget as amended by the National Finance Committee and approved by the Pacifica National Board in October of 2009.
Second. Are there any objections to that motion, though?
No.
Okay, so that's approved.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, if you want a briefing, ask George and we can explain away. Development. Is there a development committee? We're not here, but anybody else in the development committee?
Yeah.
Who's the chair at that committee?
Wendy. You want to tell us about the Hutter Open or anything?
Well, I had it closer to 6K as what we brought in. We sort of used golf packages after the final tally. And the next event that I think we're going to try to put together is going to be a bowling tournament.
Yay!
All right. That's really all I have other than working on whatever we're going to do for the 40th.
Everybody, please watch the emails and the website for development. Any questions or anything else about development? Okay. Thank you. And again, you don't have to be on the board to participate in these committees. So,
I understand Robert chaired the last meeting, so he might have information about the date.
Well, whatever day we meet, what day is the development meeting?
It was generally the first Wednesday
of the month. I'm guessing we're on the second at 7, probably at the station.
Could you check with Wendy and also with Ernesta, because sometimes the program comes instead. That's been the conflict that we try to avoid meeting at the time. Okay, thanks. Facilities management planning. Dwayne, you want to say anything about what that work day?
The House Committee Facilities Group met Saturday and accomplished numerous small projects, all necessary little things, putting a shelf in a bathroom, rerouting wires in the webmaster's office, building a router holding device for a wall, fixing a lawnmower, attaching a door, landscaping, and and a really good lunch. Always, that's the most important part. It's a great committee. You always walk away from it at the end of the day, early in the afternoon usually, feeling that you've accomplished something very tangible. I like being part of that group. Can't think of any other. Well, it'll be meeting again on, I think, December 5th. I think that's the Saturday in December. First Saturday of December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a fun committee. Governance, Richard?
We met the last Wednesday of last month, and we talked about standing rules. Ted has some questions about some of the standing rules, and we jockeyed that discussion around a bit and didn't take any actions. We're going to be meeting this coming a week from tonight at the station. I guess y'all are through with all that money thing. I guess we're going to, maybe if Ted wants to talk about standing rules some more, we'll do that. And I think there were a couple of motions referred. But if anybody's interested in governance stuff, come to the station on the last Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
And if you have input to this and you can't come, like Melinda, please email or somehow communicate your ideas or suggestions to the committee or to the whole board if you want in advance. Okay, thank you. MSRC, Metro Selection Review, Mary, any report?
Yes, just that the MSRC, the Management Selection Review Committee, for the new board members, is one of the only committees where you do have to be a member of the board to participate in. And I'm in the process of setting a date of when the next meeting will be. The task at hand is to produce a report for the year 2009. In previous meetings, we have decided that we're going to consolidate or actually put this into a smaller process for 2009, since we're at the end of the year anyway, and just report on the activities that have happened since the 2008 report was issued, which was only a month or so ago. And then we will start on the 2010 process.
Did you want to say about Duane Ernesto and all the goals?
Just that that's what we did at the last meeting. Okay, the last meeting we went over the goals that had been set for Duane and Ernesto. We discussed this with them. We will have another meeting with management coming up in a couple of months where we'll do an update on what's happened since that time.
Okay.
That's the Management Selection Review Committee.
So we don't have a date yet for the next?
Not yet, but I'll be sending out some possible dates and point of information.
Yeah, sure.
What is the official date that the new board members will be added to the email?
I guess we could go ahead and add them to the email list right away. Is that okay, Duane? Yes. Ask Christiane to do that, so they'll get. They actually take office at our next meeting, and we need to confirm the date of the next meeting. I'd like to find out from the new people when it's okay. We've been meeting the third Wednesday of each month, but it's up to the board to decide when to meet.
Could the secretary send a list of those emails to the webmaster? Could the secretary send the new name, the new emails to the webmaster?
Yes, he could.
Well, we won't take the old ones off yet.
We'll.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
see, separate it.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's time for public comment because we do that. We have a standing rule. Those of you look at the standing rules today, we have at 9 o'clock, we have public comment. That's so public. People don't have to wait, listen to the whole meeting if they don't want to, if they want to just come and say their comments. So, who was there a sign up sheet? Okay. Don, looks like Don wants to say something. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the public.
You are a public.
Come up closer to one of the microphones.
We're all of us were in the room. Okay, we got 30
minutes.
Maybe that's because the sheet was put out after we were all in the room.
Yeah, we got a bundle of public here.
Yeah. Here, sign up.
Anyway,
I just completed failing to get elected to Houston City Council, and it was a lot of fun.
Bravo. Bravo.
But I want to tell you, KPFD does a really poor job of covering local races.
They have here.
Seriously, KPFD doesn't do any better than the corporate media in covering the down ballot races. I think this is really terrible. This is really, it's just a letdown. I mean, we're better than this, aren't we? Shouldn't we be covering this stuff? I mean, you may argue that we don't have a lot of staff, we just have to rely on volunteers, but still, could you put a bug in the ear of some of the programmers that, maybe you could invite people from such and such a race, and you could have, considerably more in-depth than you got either in the Chronicle or any other radio or television station in town. But again, at KPFT, it was like there was nothing beyond the mayor's race and the comptroller's race. And what this does is this really gives a tremendous boost to the candidate who's got the siphon coming off the deep pockets. Mm-hmm. In the race I was in, the person that went into the lead in the runoff had $200,000 that he spent. And the person who ran up against him and didn't get quite as many but managed to make the runoff raised only $13,500. So she made the runoff, no thanks to us. Talk to me later, I'll tell you who to vote for in that race. And it's not the only race. There's some people who should have been elected. There's some people who should have been elected who are on city council who weren't, because the big money interests supported some candidate against them. Jolanda Jones' opponent is a guy who used to be on the Texas Board of Education, an anti-evolution, anti-science person.
Wow.
Yeah, he really deserves to be in the runoff against Jolanda Towers. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'd score you guys.
I'm out of grade.
Does the minus go on the right or the left, George?
Dyslexia? Anybody?
Anyway, that's all I got to say, and you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Thank you.
We are.
Robert Mark?
I have to do this now because I don't know when else I might be able to do it, but this is not for y'all. This is for the people that might listen to this on the website. I have to tell you, it's extremely gratifying and humbling to live in a city of 5 million people and have the membership of KPFT, who has never met me, never seen me, and all they know about me is what they read on the little blog on the Pacifica website. To have such faith in me, and I'm sure I speak for everybody that was elected, to elect me to the board. As many of you have heard, I walked in by accident to this race, just coming by to see the station and write a check, and they were having a name signing party, and I can't tell you how humbling it is to think that people would think enough of you to go out of their way to vote for you. And I thank all the members who voted for me and all the members who voted. And on a personal note, I'd just like to thank someone who didn't get thanked tonight. I have found myself in the last 5 months at event after event after event, and ultimately sitting next to your president, Bill Crozier, who has taught me the best and the obligations of a member of the local station board than I think anybody else has been able to do. And I certainly appreciate all the time he took to educate me about what goes on at KPFT and teach me how much I like the Kool-Aid. So.
Yay! Woohoo!
Thank you for showing up to all those meetings.
Here's mine. Oh, yes, I should say thank you, too. I wasn't planning to say thank you, but after listening to Robert, I really am humbled. And then knowing that
classes or courses are going to be retired. This is very big shoes to get into. Well, anyway, I'll try my best. About tonight, what's your name?
David.
David Salerno. David suggested we have another organic outpost event. I think David should be in charge of.
That's a big. That's very intimidating.
Because it was people are thinking more green. It was educational. It was food. It was
wonderful.
Basics. Okay, and then about Mr. Don Brown. Have they had a memorial service yet? Well, I thought maybe something we could say on the Saturday of his favorite programs. We could say that today's program is dedicated to. Or we shouldn't be play. Good. Can we do things like that? Or
oh, yeah,
I
don't
know.
We can.
Sure. Well, that was maybe a memorial service at the station. They could use if they have a very small. I don't know if this is a proper thing to think, but something we could do. And then at the developmental meeting, Robin told me that telecom operators that receive 5%, and I was very, I didn't like hearing about that. And yes, I heard lots of money was made, but is there anything that we can do, like tell the listeners we need volunteers and then save that 5% for the station? Okay, and because I hate because we say things, every penny is going to go to the station. You know, we heard Dwayne's voice, we heard Ernesto's voice, and I just my heart sank when I heard that. So, okay, and then I hope we will have a suggestion box in the station with a lock on it because sometimes we have little internal problems that would be. Need to go to the manager, but in an anonymous way, not through an email. It can be traced. It was got like at the anti-racism meeting two months ago, I think. After the meeting was over, when I arrived, it was late, and we discussed that because of some volunteer having their feelings hurt, but hard to express that, so if it was done with a suggestion box, could I suggest that? That's all. Thank you.
Dwayne Mark. I have been listening to KPFT since a child. About
3 years ago.
I became active in Houston as a child, and I've been continuously involved in various nonprofits, always done it free. What I'm interested in here at KPFT is to assist to the outreach efforts. I am very candid. I don't hold my word. I try to be respectful. And I am a serious-minded person. And when it comes to meetings, I'm a stickler when it comes to outcome. And I, too, think it's appropriate to give some kudos since I've been involved more deeply in KPFT than from the periphery. I've been involved in various radio programs, politically contributed to two of them for the last 3 years, and supported and asked and begged for money for KPFT over these brief periods of time. I'd like to say that Bill has exemplified what I'd like to think is a quintessential example of KPFT, the spirit, the ability to navigate through the difficulties and the nuances of personalities and still try to keep the ship forward. So I'd like to give Bill, as I've noticed you, I appreciate the kind of demeanor and the commitment that you've made and the personality that you have. I think it is perfect for a chair. And for those who are aspiring to such a position, I think you would have to exemplify that type of temperament and commitment and respect, mutual respect. And the second person I'd like to observe, having met in the last several months with the ARDC, is Dave. He's had some contentious meetings to deal with,
I've observed, just like any organization I've ever been in, there are some dysfunctions here. There's some dysfunctional, but that's human. But I think, as you mentioned earlier about the code of ethics, et cetera, if one would just adhere to the human concept of respecting each other. You know, I noticed a lot of pushback when I was asking questions about the budget. And my example of that is perhaps that's taken a little too personal, as opposed to it's a generic concept. But yet, when I began to ask questions, I felt a lot of pushback. And I deal with pushback pretty well. But I'm just suggesting that I understand investment of time. I understand how you can labor. And I understand how that's your baby and you're going to protect your baby. But when in the future, I think the governance concept should be addressed so that when there is a transition, it would seem to me we're putting the cart after the cart with respect to the governance process that I've seen today with respect to specifically the budget. But over and all, I'm very pleased to be a part of this family. I was concerned about the embracement and the reception. I had some not so good experiences in some of the outreach meetings I attended at this very building over 2 or 3 years ago. And I can say the stability is good. It has changed, and I hope that that is the kind of spirit that will carry not only this board forward, but will carry KPFT forward. But I lead by saying, I set by saying, it's one thing to have lip service about outreach, but it's another thing to accept the changes that are going to be required within the family in order to have real outreach. Thank you for your indulgence.
I'll speak. Since you guys mentioned the code of conduct, I want to speak more as like an old participant in KPFT politics. The climate and the level of civility has increased tenfold. I think the code of conduct will only end up being a source of contention. And I have participated in the code of conduct process. I had no, I don't know of anyone in KPF2 who has participated in the code of conduct or dispute resolution process that was happy about it or where it accomplished anything. I think that if this LSB would just continue to lead with its example, I can speculate on who this person is that Dwayne's made mention of, and if I'm in any way, form, or fashion correct, I suggest that you dispose of the code of conduct immediately. It's extremely hard to enforce. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking forward to the discussion on it. But, I mean, and the only reason why I mentioned it is because someone else did express an appreciation for the code of conduct, no offense or anything like that. But, yeah, and the good news is that, you know, the reason why I ran was because I don't perceive it as being that same climate.
If you'd like to come to the governance committee meeting, that's the place where, if there are any changes to it, that's where they'd probably be discussed first. The non-league?
Yes.
I was going to ask our program council representatives if you'd lose some time to take a suggestion from the program council, Wesley and Teresa.
But if I may speak, you know, I think it goes beyond the program council. I think that this board really needs to take at heart what Don has said and be instrumental in making sure that KPFT is represented when it comes to news. Part of that has to do with not programming, but it has to do with staff. You know, there are a number of issues that need to be considered when we talk about when we're considering what he has to say, because quite frankly, I don't think any of the races were really represented, you know, and I take that personally, but I do know that I'm only responsible for what I'm responsible for. You know, I think that the mayoral's race has been handled better.
Well, we don't have to discuss it.
We have program counselor coming up with.
Public comment, because we're all excited to talk to the police, but we'll bring it up later. But we all right, that's all public comment, I guess. We're back to the agenda.
Anyone
else? Yeah, was anybody else?
Mike.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I have something to shoot, but I will. Just a couple things that I've kind of noticed that's gone on here tonight. There's tension between. Very